Welcome to Book Pile Banter. This is Amberly with Sarah and Kim, and today we are discussing The Forest Demands Its Due, which is by Kosoko Jackson and was published in 2023 via Quilltree Books. Kosoko is a vocal champion of diversity in YA literature, the author of YA novels featuring African-American queer protagonists, and a sensitivity reader for the Big Five publishers. He can be found obsessing over movies, drinking his umpteenth London fog, or spending far too much time on Twitter, per his website. And then the plot for this is a young Black student is forced to address the curse that affects the new boarding school that he and his mom have just arrived to. So, first and foremost, what are our feelings in terms of this being a mystery?
I think
Kim is shaking her head.
No.
Go ahead, Sarah.
I was just going to say, I think we started off really strong this month with such a great example of mystery. No, it was not. It's not a mystery. It's not even remotely in the territory of a mystery. I don't know why it's
not even shelved
as a mystery on Goodreads. I was bamboozled. I am angry about that. Or was. It's been a week and I've gotten over it, but I'm still vaguely annoyed.
Yeah, it's not even a thriller. Like, there's a certain level where, like,
the opposite.
Yeah, but like there's a certain level of like mysteries and thrillers kind of go hand in hand, and there's like minutia little things that adjust the two. And this one doesn't really have it. It's not even a young adult mystery. Like, I know I haven't read too many young adult. No, actually, I've read a couple of young adult mysteries now that I think about it. Not that I could remember their names. But like, it's not, there's no.
It doesn't have a single mystery component to it.
No,
it tried.
It's
but
more
it immediately
like a,
answered its own question. Like,
in yeah, it's more paranormal than mystery.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree. It's just not a mystery.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
No, that's all right.
It's okay. I mean, it's bound to happen with a couple of these genres that we don't read and discuss as often on the podcast. It's kind of what the challenge of this year was, is to explore new genres and see if we find ones we like, discover if we really truly don't like ones. So it was bound to happen that every once in a while we would pick a book that didn't quite fit the way we were expecting it to. So any other thoughts on it about being a mystery? Do you guys want to start breaking it down by our categories?
We can start.
Okay. So our first category is the plot. And I'm just going to get us started because I am sure both of you have a lot more to say than I do. I cannot remember the plot. I have been slowly working on reading this book for 2 weeks now. And as soon as I step away from it, I forget what happened. Yes, Kim.
I went, blah, 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 blah. It all goes out.
Oh, I thought you were raising your hand.
No.
So, yeah, it just, like, there was.
I mean, it has a plot. It's just not a memorable plot.
It's very thin.
It's very thin.
Diluted.
Boring. I fell asleep during it 3 times. Now, granted, twice I was on a plane, so, you know, that'll happen, but.
And I didn't even hate the plot, because, like, there wasn't a lot there to hate.
It was a mess, too. It's like, there was the forest as an entity, there was the god as a separate entity. There was the headmaster, who was obviously the evil man, but also, like, just cartoonishly so. And there was no reason to even give a shit as to the fact that there was a curse. And so it's like, you don't care about the curse. You're told why the curse happened pretty much right off the bat, even if it's like, oh, they said it was a woman, but it was actually a man being killed that set this off, right? So, Big Shock or whatever. But then it's like, and then they just walk around town getting answers from ghosts. Then they wander into the forest of really easily killable monsters. And then, like, they find the god, and then it's like, I don't know. It's fucking stupid.
I think my biggest problem with it is I feel like I've read this story 100 times already, even if it's only been, you know, a few books that we've read. But everybody, why is it everyone just wanders off into the woods? It's just like, why is this a thing?
That or the
why
snow, man.
And I love the woods. I will wander into the woods, but good God,
people cannot describe it in a way that's interesting.
Well, yeah, there's that. And another device. Let's do something new.
I will say the other thing that really, like, took the plot down for me is it is a lot of telling. We're not actually being shown things or trying to work them out ourselves, which is a big component of mysteries. It specifically is in trying to engage the reader and trying to solve things and guess things and think about the story. And this is very much tells us. We are told all of the main characters' emotions. We are told what has happened in the past. We are told what's going to happen in the future. We're never shown. We're never given the emotional stakes that are necessary in order to fall into the plot of the story. And so anything that could have potentially made this exciting just wasn't with the way it was written.
So when you said that, when you were talking about the author, that he's a sensitivity reader,
mm-hmm.
My brain went immediately to, oh, this is somebody who wanted to write a book showing sensitivity. And well, unfortunately, I was going to say, unfortunately, it took away the stakes of it was almost too sensitive. It was too aware. We didn't get to see any of the conflict that enabled the sensitivity. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it thin. As Sarah said, thin.
What were you gonna say, Sarah?
You'd also mentioned that he claims to spend a lot of time on Twitter, and I was like, yeah, this feels like it was written by someone who spends a lot of time on Twitter, where this kind of stuff is just like, there's a very specific way of writing this kind of stuff. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but you know, everyone on not everyone, because there are a range of people on Twitter. Actually, I don't know anymore. I haven't.
Well, technically, it's no longer Twitter.
A long time. Yeah, well, who gives a fuck? But like, yeah, you get people who are really obsessed with the right ways of saying things, and they don't really say anything at all. And I feel like that's kind of, that reflects here.
Yeah, I think I could definitely understand that. And it definitely is a component of it, particularly because there were moments as I was reading the plot where I was like, why is this tense situation like not tense enough? I mean, you have this town that is supposed to have killed 2 gay men. And like, I don't know, the stakes, the trauma of that, the
emotional investment doesn't ever sink into the book.
Yeah. And that's not to say that you can't have a book that is both emotionally investing and sensitive, but the execution in this one just wasn't quite there for the plot for me.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, I will fully recognize that I was probably not the target audience for this.
No.
And so there are some people who this probably was very soothing for. No doubts about that.
If they've never read anything else.
Sarah, I was trying to be sensitive about how some people may respond to our critiquing. So, any other thoughts on plot?
I was just going to say, I think having representation and sensitivity in representation is very important. But in order for there to be the sensitivity, you've got to have a bit of the conflict. And this just doesn't have the conflict. Everybody falls into these characters too easily. They accept what's happening too easily. And their choices, you've got a town that killed two gay people, but there's never a conflict with either of the two main characters whose names I cannot remember right now for the life of me.
Douglas.
And I literally finished this. I finished this like an hour ago.
Everett?
Douglas and
Everly is the last name.
No, Everett. Yeah, no idea. But the first names all were E. There was Emma, there was Evelyn, and it was like Everett or Emmett or Emission.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. But so because they never encounter conflict, all of the sensitivity on the sun. I'm really tired, apparently.
Under
the sun. It doesn't ever.
There's no content to go with it.
Yeah.
So I have to express, at the same time that I was reading this, I was working on reading The Spirit Bears Its Teeth by Andrew Joseph White. And they are like polar opposites. Because The Spirit Bears Its Teeth, we've got a trans character. They're being forced into a school to force them to be female. Trauma up the wazoo. And it was so good in terms of like balancing that trauma to then having it play out where you feel satisfied with where the character ends up. Which just made this one not as strong.
Right. But I think we also need to recognize that part of representation in books is to move past the trauma. They don't, these characters don't always have to live in trauma. However, when you introduce problems like characters of a particular orientation being murdered, but then you don't address that ever in your book, you've watered down your trauma, I guess. I don't know how to say it. Go ahead, Sarah.
Well, no, Amberly was going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say, which full disclosure to anyone who's listening who's never read Andrew Joseph White. Andrew Joseph White aims to do horror, examining trauma for trans autistic characters. So, like, the trauma is supposed to be there because this is the second book I've read by them that has that trauma in it. And I've been just approved for the arc for their third one. So, like, totally different spectrums. I was just comparing like the level of like,
yeah, but I didn't want people to think that we thought that every book
trauma is not the solution.
Yeah. Anyway, what were you gonna say, Sarah?
Go ahead, Sarah.
I mean, the other thing too that he tried to touch upon but really kind of just glided over was like, and he referenced it a couple times just not very effectively, was the fact that that Douglas is like a Black student in a primarily white school, and it's like there's this whole racism component that just
never manifests.
Like, he brings it a couple times, but you don't really see it. And it just, it doesn't have the kind of impact that I, you know, kind of was expecting from the summary.
Well, particularly given the fact that the whole reason why they end up in the boarding school is because he is accused of doing a crime that he does not remember doing.
Yeah, that's never, ever resolved. Unless I must have slept through that resolution.
Well, the whole crime was that he fell asleep while the heater was on, which was what he thought. That was what he thought, which is, like,
yeah.
How is that even a crime? Like, you just...
Except for the fact that could have been used as a false blaming of a Black boy.
Yeah, I know. But, like, also, like, if 25 people died because a heater lit on fire in an apartment, like, I think the building probably wasn't up to code. So, really, maybe the landlord... Yeah. Is at fault here, but you know, I get that whole thing about being falsely accused, but it was just
it was the headmaster, by the way, Kim. The headmaster hired someone to do arson to get somebody else from the building.
Someone else.
Oh shit! I totally slept through that.
It wasn't all that contrived. Like, it was like, I'm gonna hire some random person to go out here to set up this fire to blame this one other random person, but that's because they're a minority.
So they get forced at the school.
Yes. It's like, fuck, dude, you could do this so much easier. Just grab a poor person off the street. Like, it's, yeah. You don't have to put that much effort into it. That just makes you,
yeah.
Your villain is totally just a cartoon character at this point.
Yeah. So yeah, all of this happens. And so basically it's not even like a chosen one moment for Douglas. It's, he was there by accident. Which again, just lowers the stakes of the story. Like he just happened to be there. He happened to be the one that they switched to when the one they wanted wasn't there.
Mm.
That's it. All right. Let's go ahead and rate the plot. Kim, what do you give the plot?
Oh, well, okay. It didn't hurt me, so we got to do that. It didn't. So, yeah, 2.5. I mean, I guess absolute sleep-inducing boredom is pain of a sort. So we'll go with 2.5.
I considered annoyance as counting as pain, psychic damage. So I gave this a 1.
Oh, wow. I gave it a 3. I was
extremely not impressed with this plot.
Or okay. This book. I give it a 3. I just kept forgetting it. Like, it didn't hurt me, other than, like, I just didn't want to go back to reading it. Particularly because Palace would not allow me to listen to it at triple speed. But that's more on Palace than on the book.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The other day at the library, someone was asking about what digital options we offer. And they were like, oh, yeah, I saw this book that it was immediately available for checkout as audiobook. And I love audiobooks, so I checked it out. And they're like, but it's telling me I need Palace instead of Libby. And I went, okay, I can help you with this. I said, fair warning, though, Palace is not the greatest. And she's like, oh, no. I'm like, it will still play the book. It just may glitch, and you may have to restart the app on a couple of occasions. And if you listen to it on faster speed than 1, there will be long silences at the end of each chapter. And she's like, oh, okay, I don't listen to it faster. And I'm like, okay, you'll be good. I'm like, it just may glitch out on you and you may have to restart the app. But if you want the book right away, that's the solution instead of getting on the hold list. And this particular book had like a 98 people hold list for the audiobook through Libby. So like, totally fair. Very popular book. It's a good book that she picked. It was a mystery. Okay. Main character, Douglas. I don't know that anyone else really qualified as a main character. I'm not sure Douglas really qualified as a main character, but we gotta pick someone.
The reader. Reader's journey.
Oh, man. So, I didn't dislike Douglas. However, I feel like the Douglas we were given at the beginning and the Douglas we were given at the end do not match up, and I'm not quite sure how that journey went from angry, picking fights, had been in jail, all of that, to I'm going to give up my life in order to be a god for this town so it can continue to exist. I don't understand how we got from point A to point C.
Author just didn't know how to get out of his own issue or his own conflict.
Yeah. It, like, that was my biggest hiccup with Douglas. Is I was like, I cannot believe that the character we met at the beginning, which had a lot of potential, I felt like. I was like, okay, this is kind of a weird premise, and I'm not sure I love how it's being told, but, like, maybe Douglas can save this for me, too. I got to the end, and I'm like, where did we get this? Who is this?
And I don't even remember Douglas in the beginning as far as being what you just described, so...
Well, he was picking fights with Kent. I do remember. Yeah, I remember that. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. That's when he actually had more of a personality.
Yeah, and then like the whole wife thing is mom's memory.
Holy shit!
Oh, that was
That's not how you process grief. You don't just take the memories of her husband and son.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of life is she going to have now? Like, she just, what is she even going to remember that somehow she got to this point where she's like 50 something years old and like.
And as a character, like, you're supposed to have learned something from all of this sacrifice you're supposed to have made. And yet your solution is to just control somebody else's thoughts and yeah. Right? Yeah.
Well, and then there's the whole, like, you know, I didn't know this as I was reading this, but, you know, the fact that the author is a sensitivity reader, and it's like, really, your solution was to make it that this woman is just going to wake up at the age of 40 or something with a body that she's not going to fully understand why she will. I mean, she goes to the doctor and they're going to ask her about being pregnant. She's not going to know that history. What is she supposed to, what do you misplace that and turn it into an miscarriage? And how is that better? Like,
no, there was not a lot of depth thought through when it came to writing this story. You know, and it's a thing that comes up a lot. I found when I used to read fan fiction and consent and all of this stuff, and it being, you know, if you can go into somebody's mind and make them do something or wipe their memories or whatever, you know, what are you doing with consent then? Yeah. And this was done in this book without any thought into it. It was a solution to allowing him to, why could he not just stay in the town and the mother either stay in the town or move on as she so chose? Why did he have to choose for her that she had to?
She was grieving, so she could stay.
If that's what the mother wants to do, so then let her bloody do it. Just because you're old doesn't mean you don't have the right to choices. Older, she's not old.
And he took all those memories, like any memory of him and any memory of the dad, which are going to be like a bunch of her happiest memories, are now gone.
Yeah.
No, I mean, let's be fair. The female characters in this were not treated well.
Mm-mm.
I was relieved that Emma managed to make it out alive.
I didn't think she was going to make it out.
Yeah,
she was the only one with any personality.
Yeah,
but that only showed up when they were in the forest because up until then she was just in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's going into other aspects of this because I was going to cover all of that in the ending. So.
Yeah. But okay, main characters. Any other thoughts on Douglas?
He was a Mary Sue. No. But
yes,
Gary Sue is what you're looking for.
It's just like he randomly had magic and then he could randomly just use it. He just knew how, like all he had to do was say what he wanted and it did it. And like,
at the end,
he got all like hot and then he just fell asleep and we wake up, you know, a couple weeks later, he's good. He just had to recover a little bit. He's got this under control now.
Always knew what to do, except, of course, well, for some things, it was like, I mean, I guess, according to the author, that was the right choice, but that is a choice. It was just like, I got very annoyed. I didn't hate him, but I did get annoyed with just how it was like, especially the magic. I just wish there hadn't been that stupid magic element, because it was only there to fix every problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was there to put characters in danger so then he can then fix it. And I think this was a complete author write-in. I think this was this author writing himself into this story. So, and I really hate when characters, it's like, okay, well, I know this author way more than I wanted to now. I don't like that when I read.
Okay. Any other thoughts on main character, or do we want to rate it?
Go for it.
Okay. Sarah.
I gave it a 3 because he didn't hurt me, but
okay. You know. Kim.
I'm gonna go with 3 also.
So I've got to go with a 2.5 because of that whole memory erase thing. That moment hurt me the most in this entire book.
I mean, I guess it is a character action, but I still consider it more of a just part of the ending rather than like a character trait.
That
because otherwise, that would have probably factored in, but I just don't personally. For me,
that's fair. But for me, when it came to the character, it made me mad at the character. I was mad at the mad choice at the in the moment, but I was mad at the
character. I'm mad at the author. I'm mad at the book. I'm not mad. I've been more annoyed. Angry at books. This one just bored the
shit out of me. Iron Flame, I was much angrier at. But I was very annoyed. Annoyance happened with this book. Yeah.
Secondary characters? They were there.
They were just names floating around.
Names.
Even the love interest, I'm like, he was strong and might be gay.
He was strong, muscular. And he had blonde hair and curly blonde hair.
Oh, did he? I could not even picture what he looked like.
I think it referenced green eyes at one point. And he was shorter than his sister, who was apparently a Yeti, because he was already tall. And then Emily was taller. And then she got even taller in the 3 years that she was lost in the forest.
By the end, she got taller.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it referenced it. So I'm just imagining like this gargantuan, like
I know her hair goes longer.
So tell me, this author knows nothing about women's development since most women stop growing at about the age of 12 or 13. Very few grow past that.
In terms of a height,
after that,
not very, and you didn't grow very much. I can guarantee it. And
by 16, you would have been.
Yeah, by 16, you would have been completely
probably.
Gone.
But I don't know if she was 16. She was 15, I think.
She still would not have gotten taller.
I don't think she would have gotten noticeably taller.
Because most girls first get their height, and then the teen years are like the body filling out.
That's why. That's why when you look at 6th, 7th, and 8th grade class photos, all the girls are super tall because they've done their major
growth. Yeah, and the boys
then you get into the high school years and the boys go girls are typically done once you really set into puberty. Now my sister went later, but puberty came later with her, and so you know it will vary. Obviously everything. So yeah, it's probably that is the puberty came later, but most girls are done sooner. Oh, my back hurts.
Right.
You're not gonna disappear from secondary characters. Yeah,
that's all I got. The headmaster was a mustache twirling
again. Yeah, cartoonish. Leave it villainous.
It was obvious he was behind a lot of the stuff going on.
He was the bad guy from the minute he was introduced on the page. It's like, okay, clearly he's the one. In fact, I think I said out loud, okay, we found him. We know who it is.
Even Douglas kind of knew it. So I don't know why it was such a shock or supposed to be such a shock, even though it was just really stupid that he was like behind it. Like even Douglas being framed, that was just like, way too much effort. No super rich white guy is going to put that much effort into tormenting one boy. Like,
no.
Sure, they might do it by accident, but they're not specifically tormenting. It was just silly.
Yeah.
The mom just disappears. Like,
yeah, she was there in the beginning, and then it's like, she's
just
like,
we're sending him on a trip. She's don't fine. Worry.
Yeah, and then just whoop, all the memories just gone. And then there was Sarah, who got killed off screen, but then came back with magic. And
that was the other thing that pissed me off, was the magic bringing everybody back to life. It's like, okay, no, eliminate all the stakes. Yeah, everything just went out the
well, not door. Everyone, just like the recently dead, and then the random other victims, not all the victims, but just his chosen victims.
Anybody who knows Supernatural is going to know this reference. Who's dead should stay dead.
All right.
Just a Supernatural thing.
Anyway. Any other secondary character thoughts?
No.
Nope.
Okay.
No.
I give it a 3. Kim?
2.
Sarah?
I also went with 2.
Okay. Next, we have plausibility. This was not plausible.
I don't understand my number that I gave it here.
What did you give it? I gotta know.
I had written a 3, but I am not giving it that much. Like, there's no way. I think it's because I was like, well, it didn't hurt me. It didn't annoy me as much as the other elements did. But honestly, looking back at it, it was like, no, it was stupidly implausible. So contrived. That was like the main source of my annoyance, really.
Yeah.
So that. But then if I give it, I just can't go below Iron Flame, you know? Okay, I think I'll be okay. I think I'll be okay as long as I don't reduce anything else.
I'm gonna say, I'm gonna stop giving you those numbers soon because those should be in the moment answers, not you like trying to control the system. So I'm not telling you anymore until after we've done the rankings.
Whatever, I'll remember forever that Iron Flame is 11 as long as I can.
I think we've kind of addressed it. Like, there's just not a lot of plausibility to this.
It's so contrived, and then it's just whatever happens just happens because the author needed it to happen, regardless of if it's a way that a character would realistically act or not.
I can't even like apply young adult logic to this as to why things were the way they were. It wasn't. So I give plausibility a 1.
As do I.
Sarah?
She's doing math. She's
got. I know she is.
I'm not doing math. I'm deliberating.
Does she want to give it a better number than us, or does she sink to the 1 level?
Oh, no. It's, do I want to give it the same as you, or do I want to do my original 1, which was lower?
Oh.
I mean, I just don't feel like it deserves any points at all. This thing is just because of how badly implausible it is. Badly implausible?
So that's a 0?
I'm going to give it a 0.
Okay.
Well done.
All right. Next is the ending.
Which we've already discussed. The ending?
Well, we didn't fully discuss it.
Just a sec. Okay, we didn't discuss it, so we're going to discuss it now, and I'm going to start because this is what I've gone with. I am a denouement girl. I love a good, strong denouement. A denouement that was 5 chapters, 4 chapters, whatever. I'm like, good Christ, just end the fucking story already. It's over. It's done. Everything has been resolved. Everything is whatever. I was begging it to end, begging it to just end. Yes. And I love a denouement. I love denouement. Not this one. Mm-mm. Just kept going.
So I hated the thing with the mom.
Yes.
I believe we all are in accord on that one.
I hated the whole, Everly, you must go. Know the world, and then you know you can visit, and then him coming back.
You mean Everett? Do you mean Everett?
Well, the last name Everett Everly. I couldn't remember what his first name was, but
yeah, I know.
He is told to go out, and then he comes back and he's like, "You are my world. I don't need anything else." It's like, fucking A, dude.
You don't know.
Go.
Yeah.
Go at least go get drunk a bar over or something. I don't know.
He is a god that is going to live for immortal. Yeah. He can wait a few years for you. Go experience the world and decide if this is what you really want. Yeah.
Also, that pissed me off so much.
Why not just take his memories too so that he leaves?
That's true.
Right?
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
I hated that. Like, I was already annoyed at the mom, and then him coming back, I was like, come on. You could have epilogued that to a couple years later and feel like he had a choice to leave it and explore, and coming back and being like, no, this is where I wanted to be. I've experienced it. this is where I'm happy. And instead it's like, well, my mom's going to, you know, be headmaster, so I might as well stick around.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Why?
No.
And even him coming back and like, I pick you moment, you're just still thinking about the fact that Douglas is just, what, not going to age? When is this going to, like, get creepy?
Well, it's not. He'll just magically make him live young forever. Of course, yeah.
Or he'll magically make himself look older. I mean, because he did reference that he's going to live longer than the other dude. But, you know, the magic can do whatever he needs it to do, so he'll figure it out. Obviously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this ending hurt me. I was just glad to be done with it, but it hurt me. It was not satisfying.
Mm-mm.
And it's like the romance itself was just so fucking blah the whole time that it's like you don't even give a shit that they that he decided to stay. It's like, why? And just okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
Shut up and end this book.
Off and on of we're so physically attracted to each other, but no, we can't. It's like that's not suspense. That's not sexual tension at all.
It was just weird.
It was weird.
Particularly like when it got to the parts where Douglas was like, oh man, I just wish I could hear his voice one more time. And then he's like, and he got the final word. It's like, dude, these are not the same characters. What is going on here? This does not add up.
Yeah.
I just wanted to talk to him one more time, so I'm glad his voice is the last thing I hear. Instead, it's, oh, and of course, he got the last word. Like, what?
Anyway, let's score this sucker. All right.
I give it a 1.
I give it a 0. I had to compete with Sarah.
Sarah?
I gave it a 1, and I think I'll keep it as a 1.
Okay. All right. Next is mechanics. We've kind of touched on this. It's telling, not showing us. So it's not strong. I was tired of being in Douglas's head.
Very much so.
The structuring isn't great.
The pacing wasn't great either.
Yeah.
They're just plodding along, and then suddenly there's action, and then there's just more plodding along. Lots of introspection about, Everett, for some reason.
And then we run into each other, and time has passed, but there's been nothing within the writing to indicate that time was passing for you should have some sort of idea that maybe elsewhere time is passing differently than time is passing for you. Yeah. Not just somebody suddenly runs in and they don't look the same as they used to look.
Some throwaway comment towards the beginning of the book that time passes differently in the forest. It's like, well, you didn't mention that time can pass differently in pockets of the forest.
Exactly. It's differently for me than for you because we're not in the same spot.
Yeah, there were no clear rules about the magic.
Yeah.
The characters were not consistent throughout the entire thing in terms of their growth and who they were from the beginning to the end. That's the best I can't even think of like I guess the sentences were solid sentences.
That's where I was gonna start. I was gonna say the writer can write a sentence.
Yeah, and
bare minimum, I will say, is that not?
Yeah, but like we have read things where I was like, oh Lord, who let this person write? This isn't even so much a oh Lord, someone let this person write. It was more of a someone should have workshopped this a little bit longer. This needed more workshopping, or it needed to be, and it's not even their first book. Drafts.
I know, that's scary. That's the real mystery here. Oh.
I just like I don't know. It's not strong. And that's already knowing that like young adult mechanical writing is already on, like, it's got a low bar already.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember when I started reading this, I was like, maybe I just don't like young adult books anymore. But then as I read on, I was like, I feel like even taking that into account, this is not meeting my expectations.
Yeah, it was already starting with a low bar, and it definitely goes under the lower, like, it lowers. And it, so, it, and it's kind of weird, because, like, a part of me is like, oh, you know, I'm not the demographic who's this written for, maybe that's the problem. But then I'm like, but yesterday at the library, I saw that an author, also a Black writer, also a queer writer, I saw that we had their newest book in the library, and I got up from the desk and like walked over to the scene section and pulled it out and set it on the desk so I could check it out the next time I was sitting down at the desk. So like, you know, there's just like,
I mean, even
but you, so did you look at it? Was it better written?
Oh yeah, no, I love that author. This is their third book that I've, or they've done four books. I still need to read the sequel to one of them. But like, when I think of like fantastic, Black, gothic, paranormal writing, Delicious Monsters is going to be my top recommendation. So when I saw that they had another book, she had another book, I was like, oh my God, I did not realize this had already come out. I need to check it out right now so I can read it. It's sitting in the car. I'm forcing myself to read other things before I get to it because I know I will love it.
So the problem like, wasn't, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, even if you're not the target demographic, you can still recognize if story elements or story mechanics mm-hmm. are not working out. Like, it's just, you don't, that's just kind
of. Oh, most definitely. I also try to think about biases when I'm reading something. And so initially I was like, maybe I'm just really biased. We know that gay romance is not massively my thing. Mm. And I was like, so I knew I was coming into this with a slight bias. And I was like, but I know there are other young adult, queer, Black books that are amazing. So the mechanics on this just aren't great.
Yep.
So that was the point of my tirade. Anything else for mechanics? Nope. Anything I missed? No. Okay. Nope. Sarah, what do you rate mechanics?
Give it a 2.
Okay. Kim?
3.
3. Okay. I thought I was going to be going more neutral on my points here with this, but as we discuss it, I'm realizing how much it bordered from bland to I didn't like.
I mean, it seemed like you had a harder time getting through this one, or at least you were extremely unenthusiastic about this book compared to others that were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it wasn't like active hatred on its part. But as we're talking about it, I'm realizing how much of it was like I was just passively listening. Because if I was engaging in it, I would have been more displeased. I'm going to give it a 2.5 for mechanics. All right. So then, we have predictability. This was not so good. It was so predictable and not in a good way.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was predictable. And then other times it was just like
random.
Yeah, it was like, oh, this is not, it's not shocking because you had no actual buildup to it. You just threw this in here to make it seem like it was less predictable, but it doesn't work if you don't set it up even just like subconsciously. Like you just, mm-hmm. no.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's all I have to say. Not good, predictable.
Just all the usual tropes played out pretty much. In a way you would expect, more or less, or just completely out of left field.
Or as bland as possible.
Yeah, yeah. Like, with just taking, like, the most basic skeleton, sticking in the story, and then not actually, like, fleshing it out. Just like,
yeah,
and then moving on to the next thing.
Yep. Yep. All right. Sarah, what do you give predictability?
I gave it 2.
Kim?
Me too.
Okay. I'm gonna give it a 3 only because it never made me like verbally react to it.
So I gave it a 2. No, I think I gave it a two because I did get annoyed with how it's like, oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah. But, like, that's, like, sometimes with the predictability, I will be like, what the fuck? That was too easy. Or I'll be like, oh, my God. Mm. I can't believe that happened. I didn't have any of this here. It was just like, okay, box, check.
Yeah.
Check.
Oh, wow. I'm so shocked. Check.
Yeah. Or it was like, oh, that was kind of strange. I'm like, but I don't know that I was paying attention well enough earlier that wasn't already set up.
Never read a book before where the protagonist erases his mom's memories for no fucking reason. Ooh, okay, that's a choice.
Okay, emotional reaction is next. Sarah, why don't you get us started? I feel like there are emotions you have not expressed yet.
I don't think so. I mean...
Oh, okay.
So I was the only bored. The only emotional reaction I had, and it just keeps going back to this erasing mom's memories. It as a parent, I was annoyed because it pretty much just said, we are superfluous. I can't say the word right now. We're just unnecessary to our children's lives. They can just
superfluous.
Yeah, thank you. I was annoyed. I was annoyed, and I'm a person that if my children decide to move on and not be in my life, I'm like, okay, cool. You do you. You're gonna do what you're gonna do. I can't make you be in my life. I can't. You know, hopefully I've done enough that you can like me enough that you want me in your life. But if you don't, that's
might remember fine. To call you on your birthday.
Yeah, yeah. But to say that your mother is better off without you and that you're better off without her, that was annoying to me. That was my only emotional reaction. And it was not a strong one. It was just in my opinion,
a poor choice.
A very immature choice by the writer.
Yeah, I wonder how old the writer is.
Yeah, do we have any idea?
I don't know. Let me see here.
And I don't know how somebody who expresses so much love for his mother, because this character does express, we're not shown it, we're just
expressed. At least in the beginning.
Expressed. Yeah, so much love and respect for his mother. And then he's just like, yeah, see ya, Ma. I'm done.
I would say, based on appearance, under 30, maybe under 35. Also, Sarah, this is not your first time reading this author.
Are you sure? I thought I had a book that was want to read, but I didn't think I'd actually read any.
Had you not read I'm So Not Over You? Or A Dash of Salt and Pepper?
I think I have A Dash of Salt and Pepper on my want to read. Okay.
Is it going to stay on your want to read?
Not sure.
So, and to any listener this offends, now I apologize. I'm legitimately coming at this from how I understand a community that is not my own. But the idea that a Black child would just be like, yeah, I'm going to erase my mom's memories and, like, she's good. Given the, like, very community, family-oriented state that tends to seem to be part of that community, makes it feel even more horrific to me than, say, a white family. I don't know why, and you guys can totally tell me if that sounds way worse than I thought it did. I don't know. It felt so extreme.
It just felt just immature to me. It felt very much like a, I don't know. It felt like that the writer didn't want to come up with a way for the child to explain to the parent how they are now a god. Don't even get me started on that aspect of this book, but whatever. I've just, that just kind of went through the sieve in my brain. I It's just like, I don't know why they had to become a god, but whatever. But yeah, it was just very immature to me. Yeah. Or, you know, they have mommy issues. I don't know.
All right. So, Kim, what do you rate the emotional reaction then?
One.
Sarah.
I mean, I didn't get to really go through my process, but yeah, I would say one as well.
Did you want to talk
about it? I started with you.
I know, but then I said it was boring. And then Kim had started talking, which was fine because it's not like I had much to say. It was just, I was going to say, it was really boring in the beginning.
I interrupted you. Just say
again.
Fuck it. Whatever.
Go, Sarah, go. You were bored.
It doesn't really matter. I was bored. Then I got slowly more annoyed. And then by the time like the forest, the whole God thing was coming up, it was just enraged. So all those negative emotions, that's why I'm giving it a one.
Okay. Thank you for explaining for us. All right. Read ability.
It was technically readable. Technically. Very simple language. Very fucking boring. So that made it a trial of endurance. Not quite on the level of Iron Flame. No, but... And not quite on the level of Leech. For me, Leech was way too many words saying nothing. But...
What about Gideon the Ninth?
Honestly, it's been a while since I have been... What's the word? Tested, I don't know, by one of those books. So I can't really remember. I am
it
sure
it used to be the bar.
I know. It but the bar got lower. It got lower. Hey, and I even rated Gideon the Ninth a 2 on Goodreads, apparently, which surprised me because I was like, man, I thought I really disliked that book. but no, can't really even remember it. But yeah. This was okay. Readable, but it was not easy to read in the sense that you had to get through it.
For me, the words went in one ear, directly out the other ear, and at times I couldn't listen to it because I actually wanted words to stick in my brain. So I kept opting for other things because I actually wanted to process a story instead of just gone. So it's not great readability. Kim?
I like I said earlier, I slept through most of it, so and I really because I listened to audiobooks to sleep. But I choose particular ones. And if I don't know the story, I stay awake. It doesn't put, just listening to a book doesn't put me to sleep. Never has. I listen to books that I've already listened to. It comes down to the narrator. It comes down to, you know, how the voice plays in my head, that sort of thing. This one was so boring. The story was so boring that I literally was falling asleep. Now, granted, I traveled a lot during this book, so...
Even
you
still,
did.
I can assure you, it was very boring.
Yeah,
your instincts aren't wrong.
Very
there.
Boring. Yeah,
I do. Although, want to point out that I did like the narrator's voice. I would have
yeah,
to hear him do something else.
That was my highest rating in anything I looked at. Was the performance was really well. It was well
yeah.
done. He has a nice voice.
I didn't get that because I read it manually with my eyes.
I wouldn't say that it was the strongest performance because there were a couple of times where he talked and I was like, which freaking character is this supposed to be? But I did like the quality of his voice.
Yeah, he didn't fall into what a lot of narrators do in trying to give us a different voice. He relied on the he said, she said of the book to let us know who was saying what. And it's just a style of narration. And most times I actually prefer that because I get annoyed trying to remember which accent which character has and all of that.
Yeah.
But again, I think it comes down to how the book is written also. There's a lot of he said, she said in this book. So,
yeah. So, anything else on emotional reaction? Emotional reaction.
Readability.
Goodness okay. Gracious. Sorry. Sarah, what do you rate readability?
I gave it a 3.
Okay. Kim?
I also gave it a 3.
Did I forget to put my scores in for those ones? I did. I think emotional reaction. I don't remember what I gave emotional reaction. Did I give anything for emotional reaction?
I thought you gave it a 1. I thought you and I gave it a 1.
Okay. I'm going to go with that.
I gave it a 1.
Okay. We're going to go with the ones all the way around. Readability. I go with a 2.5.
Okay.
And then style.
Yeah, this is where I would say that the immaturity of it bothered me, was with the style. Honestly, this read more like, well, not that I read many these days, so I don't actually know, but to me it felt more like a middle grade book or even possibly lower than that, except for the gory parts. Like, if those hadn't been in there, I would have been like, oh, yeah, this is definitely written for younger crowd.
I mean,
I don't think it was supposed to be, but that's how it read.
Okay, so that's interesting, because most ardently read like a middle grade author trying to write young adult to me. This, I don't know, because, like, I've read some really good middle grade books. And there is a lot of, like, style in terms of middle grade books, because they're still working really hard to get children to develop the vocabulary, the reading comprehension. So a lot of time and energy is invested in how the book is written, even if maybe it's not as, like, intense a topic as some. And even then, some of them have really intense topics. I don't know. This doesn't feel like as good a quality as a middle grade book, style wise. Like,
I didn't say it felt like a good middle grade book. I just said that it felt like it was middle grade level.
Okay, fair. I'm defending middle grade books. I think you're being unfair to middle grade books on that.
Or lower grade school, elementary yeah. school, whatever you call it. Just for the level books. Of like. The level of comprehension that the reader needed was just so low. Like,
yeah.
It was not complex at all.
And I would not be able to pick out this author's voice in anything else I read. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, this is Kosako.
I don't know. If it felt like so a mess cool. that wasn't going anywhere, I'd be like, is this that one guy's book? Book girl, author, and then I have to look it up, and I'd be like, oh, "Damn it! How did I fall into this trap again?"
But that would imply that I will remember the stuff. This book. Yeah,
you might not remember the actual content, though. Just
no, just I won't even remember the style. That's the thing. There wasn't significant pain. Like, even though my numbers make it seem like there was like lots of pain, it just was.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
It's just bland.
That is true. Like I said, he didn't flesh much out on these basic concepts. So, yeah, there wasn't a lot of author style.
And there was also, like, a level of disappointment. Because, like, oh, Black queer character. You know what? Male queer character. That is highly underrepresented. And particularly in not being turned into like, I don't know. I mean, like, I know it's in like visual media a lot, but like, I don't know. Like, I think I had higher expectations and hopes.
I mean,
and then I was also confused because this was not a mystery. The cover looks really dark.
I feel like I was just led astray. Again, I guess I shouldn't be judging books by their cover because this keeps happening. Because I'm like, oh, that's a cool cover. And then the content is just like your basic crap.
The cover is so cool.
Yeah, kudos to whoever did the cover. Like, good job, illustrator, person, designer, whatever. It's just does not match the innards at all.
The tone, all of it does not match with what the cover looks like. So, yeah, I'm going to give style a 2. Kim?
3.
Sarah?
I gave it a 2 as well.
Okay. So that means Sarah has given this a whole whopping 17 points.
Yes.
So it was not... Leech did better.
No, like I said when we weren't recording, objectively speaking, Leech has better writing skills to it. Not great, but better than this. Just, I did hate this Leech, reading Leech more than this one.
That's fair. Kim gave it a 20.5. So Kim hated Leech more than this one. But Kim slept through most of this one.
Yep.
Wait, Kim hated Leech more than this one?
Yeah, Kim gave Leech 10 points.
What did I give Leech?
You guys keep talking about Leech. I don't remember which one Leech was, so.
The parasite as the main protagonist?
Oh, yeah. That was...
In the weird future?
Yep, I stopped myself from saying something out loud, so.
The only one that Kim hated more than Leech was, Negative Space.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I gave The Forest of Man's Due 21.5.
Wow.
I mean, it didn't hurt me as much as it hurt you guys.
I mean, again, it didn't really hurt me either. It annoyed me, and at times it made me angry, but it's not like I felt anguish or mental trauma.
So this does put it at our third lowest rated book in total, because it got a
spot for it.
Yeah, because it got 59 points. Negative Space and Iron Flame.
Yeah, keep that bitch down there.
It's so funny because that book is still absolutely beloved by people. I cannot understand.
Listen, all you gotta do is give people smut and dragons and they're happy.
There was like no smut. Well, I guess there was. I just skipped it. But it was so much dialogue and that just went nowhere.
And a shadow daddy. You give everyone those three elements and they are happy. Rex just walked in as I said shower daddy.
Yeah. You just traumatized that child's life.
Yep.
He'll go look up shadow daddy and yeah. Did you know they're doing... Do you know they're doing... I'm trying. The book with
Avatar.
Doing balls.
Uh-huh.
Where they hire actors to come in as the characters. And so these poor actors are having to walk around this ball with wings on their backs.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So they look like Cassian and Azrael.
At random balls?
No, the balls are themed to Avatar. So right now it's really popular to go to book balls. Women just want to dress up in ball gowns and dance with their female friends. One of my coworkers wants to convince the library to let us do one, and I am totally down for it. But some of these balls, in order to make themselves like more appealing, are then hiring actors to be themes, because Bridgerton's balls did so well.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Yeah, they did them for like 3 months. So people want women want to go to these balls and interact with these characters. Although I will say there is actually coming about a counter argument to this, that people don't actually really like the characters being present, because then you don't have that self-inserty moment where you don't feel like you're, you know, at a ball and you're getting to experience it and stuff. Instead, you feel like you're watching these characters experience the ball with you. And so a lot of people don't actually love when there are the actors there, and they would think that the ball should just have the ethereal appearance of an ACOTAR setting without the characters present. Because the wings always look kind of silly. The characters never quite look how people are picturing. Like, it just, it doesn't quite work.
Yeah, because like you said, it becomes a show rather than like an interactive experience.
Right, right.
And you hit a certain point where you're like, why is Cassian doing the cha-cha slide? Like, it becomes weird. But anyway, I didn't mean to bring book balls. No. We got there.
Thank you for alerting me to this phenomenon that I could have lived without knowing about, but you know,
it's gonna make it harder for me to drag Sarah to one.
Oh yeah, you would have to tranquilize me. Good luck.
Listen, I went to the Star Wars convention for you.
Yep, but you did make that choice.
Of your own free. You made that choice.
All right. On that note, our intro and outro music is by Grant Newman and is called The Battle of the Nile from Epidemic Sounds. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to Book Pile Banter on Spotify, Amazon Music, iTunes, or whichever platform you listen to your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you on any of our social media platforms, such as Instagram or TikTok. You can find us at book_pile_banter. You can support us on bookshop.org. Our link is available via our social media. You can also email us at bookpilebanter@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.